What's up, guys? This is Coach Coop, and welcome to the show. Tonight, I am joined by Maria of Mind Body Health. Maria is one of the world's most famous health-oriented chefs. That's right. She's actually a ketogenic chef specializing in low-carb and low-to-zero-sugar guilt-free recipes. You guys might remember her husband, Craig, from a prior episode where we nerded out on all things ketones and the brain. Tonight, Maria is actually going to talk to us about how to take the long-term view with your lifestyle and nutrition, how to make that mindset shift. In addition to that, she's going to talk to us about how the physical body actually impacts your happiness and mental health and overall well-being, for better or worse, depending on how you take care of yourself. In addition to that, Maria is going to give us tips for getting started and a whole lot more. I highly suggest, if you haven't yet, you guys check out her website at Mind Body Health. It's just one of the preeminent resources for all things health, wellness, nutrition, with a specific emphasis on low carb, low sugar, and beyond. As always, tonight's episode is brought to you by Real Ketones, the world's preeminent exogenous ketone resource. If you guys haven't tried exogenous ketones yet, get on that train. Honestly, the benefits include everything from anti-inflammation, health, wellness, longevity, brain and cognition, energy, in gym, exercise, sport performance, anxiety relief, and a whole lot more. Be sure to go check them out at realketones.com. On top of that, they are not just a nutritional supplement company. On top of offering the superfood of nutritional supplements, they also offer guides, articles, plans, resources, and a whole lot more. So again, that is realketones.com. All right, guys, without further ado, welcome to the show. Good evening, everyone. This is Coach Matt, and you are listening to Better Health and Body Radio, your source for the latest and greatest information and understanding in the world of health, nutrition, and performance, where we give you a seat at the table next to the best and the brightest minds to arm you with the information you need to optimize yourself. Join us for another exciting, thought-provoking episode of BHB Radio, starting now. All right, Maria, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it.
It's an honor to be here. Thank you, Matt.
Yeah, of course. I've been looking forward to this interview for a while. I'm sure a lot of our listeners are familiar with your work, but for those of them that aren't, do you mind kind of introducing yourself a little bit and telling us a little bit how you got into doing what you're doing now?
For sure. It's kind of a cool story. When I was 16 years old, I was twice my size. I wasn't feeling well. So I went to my doctor, my family doctor, and she told me that I had PCOS, which is basically a type 2 diabetes that affects female fertility. I also was so depressed. She gave me an antidepressant. She gave me a prescription for my acid reflux and a prescription for my IBS, irritable bowel syndrome. So I was a total mess. And, you know, she kind of rocked my world because she told me I wasn't going to be able to have my own children.
Wow.
And there wasn't Google back then. This was 23 years ago, almost to the day. So I just started researching what caused PCOS because I was like, wow, you know, how do I change this? Because she told me that it was nothing I was doing wrong. It was just the cards I was dealt. But that very same week, I had this beautiful gold retriever dog that was losing patches of her hair. And the first question the vet asked me was, what are you feeding her? And I was like, wow, my doctor didn't even ask me that. And so I just kind of like looked into what causes PCOS, and it's excess caffeine, sugar, and carbohydrates. And at the time, Matt, I worked at a coffee shop where before school I would go to the coffee shop and make the scones and the cinnamon rolls and muffins, and then after school I would go back and kind of close up shop, and whatever didn't sell that day as far as baked goods goes would come home with me. So you made damn sure I would make extra cinnamon rolls in the morning because I wanted to take some home with me.
I would have done the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, I had to really change what I was doing because I drank mochas like they were going out of style. And I lived off of those you know, the cinnamon rolls and stuff. So what I did, what I don't want to live off of chicken breasts and broccoli. So I just kind of like got into the kitchen, started recreating my favorite foods, just a little bit differently, you know, making them low carb at the time. I mean, was it called keto then? No, it was probably called Atkins more than that. But I just started making all of these recipes, and I went to school for nutrition and exercise physiology because I was always an athlete. I was just always the big athlete, literally. So for me, I just wanted to be a mom. So I got this education in college for nutrition, but, my husband, I met him at a young age of 17, and we started, the adoption process as soon as I finished college. Mm-hmm. And sadly, he lost his job. And at the time, we couldn't even pay our mortgage payments. And if you know anything about adoption, every dollar you put into adoption, when you lose insurance, basically you have to start over at square one. And not only did we lose our house and our cars, everything we put into adoption basically went in the garbage. It was like, you know, throwing money into the fire. And so I got pretty depressed. I didn't want to wake up in the morning. And a dear friend of mine said, Maria, you're going to start a blog. And I was like, what's a blog? This was before blogs were a thing. And she's like, well, it's, you know, you're going to put these recipes on a blog, and then you're going to put them into a cookbook to help raise money for your adoption. And I was like, that's a great idea. So I basically went to the library, because I didn't have anything, to start writing. And I just put my heart and soul into it and just put together a self-published book. And it went gangbusters, Matt. Like, people loved it. They loved the recipes. They loved the food. Everybody started feeling great. And pretty soon, I mean, now I have two adopted little boys that are, if you know me at all, you know that they're the apple of my eye. I'm watching them right now run and play on the beach. They truly, I mean, I'm just so grateful for everybody's support, because everybody's really changed my life a lot.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a pretty wild, I mean, of all the stories that I've heard about how people get to where they're at, that might be in a very positive way, like the most wild one yet, you know, in terms of how you guys turn that situation around.
Thank you. It's just like, I remember everybody saying, everything happens for a reason. And I, you know, wanted to punch him in the face at the time, but you know, it's those struggles that made me the strong person that I am today. And it still keeps me grounded. I told you before we started, I don't even have a car. Like, I still live very simply, and I'm grateful for the blessings I have, because I know how it feels, you know, there's a time that it could all go away. I'm aware of that. I'm grateful for the small blessings that I don't think I would be able to appreciate if I had nothing at once.
Yeah, absolutely. And I hear you on that. Actually, I was saying the same thing to a friend of mine, knowing that I was, you know, telling them something at a time where they were going through something. And when you tell them, oh, everything happens for a reason, then it almost comes across like they're not kind of hearing you. And it's sort of like saying, like, no, I mean, it's okay to feel bad as it happens and accept those emotions and process them. And you know, no one's trying to mitigate your experience, but, you know, I always kind of look at what, it's an NBA player, Jimmy Butler says, and, you know, he says, like, well, I really like who I am now. And he was thrown out as a kid of his house when he was about 13 and encountered all kinds of hardship. His mom told him basically she didn't like the look of him and threw him out. He himself got adopted by a family. And so, you know, now he looks back in retrospect and sees how all these dots got connected to make him who he is, where he is, and how, you know, how everything came to be. And he's like, you know what? I actually wouldn't trade that for anything, even if at the time it might have really sucked, you know?
Yeah. I mean, but I resonate with that. I wish I don't want anything to change that I went through, because it has made me who I am.
Right. Exactly. And that's, I think for me, that's been something that I had to learn in time, because it's like there are some things that you might like look back on that you went through, and then you have a lesson you can pull from that. And at the same time, it's something that you wouldn't change the fact that it happened the first time around, if that makes sense.
It does.
Right. So now these days, what do you spend most of your time doing? You know, I know you're a published author. You've mind, body, health. Your website. Really, it's more than that. It's also like an educational and support outlet for those of you who haven't checked it out yet. I know that's up. Thriving. What's a day look like for you right now?
The majority of my days I spend with clients, Skype consultations. This morning I had someone in Australia with a child who suffers from epilepsy. That's kind of where the ketogenic diet based off of, a therapeutic ketogenic diet for epilepsy and seizures. I also coach or teach keto coaches, so they can become keto coaches. So it's like a keto college. So I spend a lot of time with my coaches and clients, but I am writing 4 books at the moment. So there's a lot of time editing, writing. I mean, I'm a worker bee. I love being very busy, and I love helping people too. So I think that's where, I don't feel like it's work because I love it so much, except for when the edits come back, that's like, I'm a pain in the butt. But I do a lot of that. And yeah, I have a free website, a blog per se, Maria Mind Body Health. Back when blogs weren't cool, I should have picked like keto.com, right? But it's mariamindbodyhealth.com, where there's thousands of free recipes there and tips and tricks there, like you were mentioning. But yeah, that's basically it's what I do. And when I do have free time, I like to paddleboard with the humpback whales. I don't know if you saw any of those videos, but I have some pretty amazing videos on my Instagram where the whales like basically try to tip me off my paddleboard to play with me.
Sorry, say that one more time. Cut out for a second. The last bit with the whales.
When I do have free time, I like to jump on my paddleboard out here in Maui. And if you check out my Instagram, you can see baby whales basically try to tip me off my paddleboard a couple times to play with me.
That's awesome. And what's your Instagram for people who want to, kind of follow your work and keep in touch, by the way?
It's @ Maria Emmerich. I also have @ Maria Emmerich, all one word. I also have @ Maria Emmerich _ recipes if you want to just see what recipes I'm coming up with at the moment.
Okay, that's awesome. Yeah, I'll be sure to follow both along.
Thank you.
That's great. And so kind of to pivot a little bit and speaking of coaching and everything, what's some of the just general advice you might give to someone who doesn't really know where to get started and wants to? If they kind of are starting at this thing from, I don't know too much about nutrition. I don't know too much about keto. I just know I need to change my life.
Right. Well, what I like to start with is, what is your why? What is your why is going to change how I would suggest doing a healthy ketogenic diet? Because I think, back when I started, 23 years ago, there wasn't this, keto wasn't popular. Now with the popularity of keto, everybody's trying to make a buck and all of these products are out there. Man, if it comes out of a package, think twice. I wouldn't eat it. If it's out of a package, no. There's just so much junk. There's keto bars and these, this and that. I'm recommending eating real food, no matter if your why is to lose weight or if your why is to help with epilepsy or seizures. But, a lot of people venture into the keto diet. 99% of people come to me because they want to lose weight. And a lot of people said, well, I tried the keto diet and I didn't lose any weight. But most people are thinking they need to just add a bunch of fat in order to get into ketosis, which is not true.
Right.
As long as you eliminate the carbohydrates enough, you will be in ketosis. You don't need to add in fat or MCT oil. Higher ketones do not mean that you're going to burn fat better. And actually, the longer you've been doing a ketogenic lifestyle, your ketones will be lower. And it's not anything to get depressed about. Your mitochondria are just getting much more efficient. And so your ketone numbers will be lower. And especially if you exercise, like I run every morning and my ketones go very low. Does it mean that I'm not a real keto burner? No, it just means that I don't have them in my bloodstream because I'm using them for energy. It just means that you're more efficient. Usually only high ketones happen in the beginning or if you're doing massive amounts of fat, which I don't recommend.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with you on that. I think a lot of people kind of miss the forest because they're looking at a tree, so to speak, and they tend to like chase ketones, like ketone numbers, rather than chasing like results, right? Optimal health, yes. Fitness, performance, if they're an athlete, other markers. And I agree with you. Yeah, I mean, the more efficient you are at using ketones for energy, the less of them you're going to have in your bloodstream. And I think the same goes with carbohydrates too. Like the more metabolically flexible you are, the better your body is going to be at like, you know, absorbing them, partitioning them and rerouting them as muscle glycogen or to fuel organs rather than spiking your blood sugar and storing as fat possibly.
At the same time, with my background of PCOS, if I do have even so-called, you know, healthy carbs like sweet potatoes or whatever, that does spike my blood sugar still, even after many, many years of eating close to zero carbohydrates. And even coffee, if I add in coffee right now, it messes with my blood sugar so much. I get so nauseous. I almost throw up. It's it'll always be there. It's not like it went away. But I also love eating this way. So I don't feel like this is a diet, you know, and that's the thing, Matt, like in all aspects of your life, if you sit there and be like, oh, what was me? I can't have any bread. I can't have any pasta. I can't have any rice. Like you're going to fail because you need to think of it as like, oh my gosh, I can have chicken wings. I can have ribs. I can have all of these things I once thought were naughty or bad. I can eat that. You have to start thinking positive the same way that when I was told, Maria, you can't have your own children. I didn't get, what was me? I didn't, get cry every time a friend of mine got pregnant. I was like, you know what? I am going to bring children into my life that don't have families. And I'm very proud of that. I think that, when you think of things in a positive way, you're going to live a much more, happy, fulfilling life that, it's just being a positive, having a positive attitude is huge in life.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what you basically just spoke to was like, you're a glass is half full, like be thankful for what you have, not for, right. What you lack kind of person.
So true.
Yeah. And I agree with you on the PCO, PCOS thing. It's like, it sounds like you have a little less wiggle room than, your average person who might, let's say, be able to start keto and then have a little bit more room for, let's say, carbohydrates if they're, maybe doing more fast twitch type activity. Right. So it sounds like for you, your food is your medicine, right?
It totally is. Like when I first started, I didn't even lose weight right away, but my depression that very first week, I became a whole new person. People that meet me now that knew me back then, they're like, who are you? But it really was a natural I never took the medications the doctor gave me and I didn't want to. It was, my natural mood lifter. And I found other ways, we all have hardships in our life. I just had to find other ways to soothe myself rather than food because that, plate of cinnamon rolls never made me feel better. It made me feel worse.
Yeah.
Or too often we grab alcohol. We know that's a depressant. Like we need to find other ways to soothe ourselves rather than food and alcohol.
Yeah, absolutely. I it's funny you say that. I actually worked with a good amount of people over the years in the mental health space as it relates to their physical health. And they usually don't assume the two intersect. And in reality, it's like, do you have depression and less like kind of will and life force? Or do you have some subclinical hypothyroidism going on? Or, is it anxiety, or do you just have kind of like a nutrient, insufficiency and live an overscheduled life? So I try to help bring people up to like a, or at least, at least educate them on how they can bring themselves up to a little bit more of like a biological neutral. And then they can kind of look at their life and, have a better lens through which they see the world because their body's feeling better and they can decide, oh, do I really not like my job or was I just not healthy? And you know what I mean?
Oh yeah. I mean, serotonin comes from our gut, you know? So what your gut health is, you know, it'll tell your brain how you're feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that's cool too. It sounds like you didn't just have like a transformation with regards to optimizing your health. It sounds like this very much changed how you see the world, your anxiety, or your mind, body, emotions, right?
Absolutely. It was like peeling an onion, you know.
Mm-hmm. Getting out the other layers.
Yeah, yeah. It helped in so many ways.
Hence the name Mind Body Health, right?
Yeah, that's why I picked it. You know, I just wish it'd be a little bit more, you know, shorter than Maria Mind Body Health, but it's all right.
There we go. That's awesome. Speaking of your books, like if we wanted to dive into that for a second, where would you recommend people start with, you know, maybe which book and all that?
Oh yeah. You know, I have a book called Keto, The Complete Guide to Success. And it's basically a nutritional guidebook. And it probably, like, what you read online about keto, it's going to show you probably what's wrong about all of those things. Like why, you know, bulletproof coffee isn't recommended or,
right.
You know, but there's a whole chapter on hormones. You mentioned the thyroid, but you know, thyroid health and how to modify the keto diet for someone with like gallbladder issues or menopause or thyroid issues or celiacs or Crohn's disease, like how to modify it to fit you. Because, you know, a lot of people, they try the keto diet and they live off of cheese and nuts. And
yep.
I actually have five books now that are dairy and nut free for that very same reason, because dairy and nuts, that's what's going to cause people to fail on the keto diet. So, you know, I mean, I'm from Wisconsin originally and we love our cheese. I mean, you buy cheese curds at the gas station. It's a more common allergen than gluten is. And, you know, all of my recipes are gluten free, but we don't address the dairy issue enough in this keto space, but working with so many autoimmune issues, I have a child who can't do dairy and they eat completely keto. And so it was just really important for me to write dairy-free, nut-free books. But I got to tell you, it sounds like, you know, a boring way to live, but once people start diving into the meal plans, they're like, wow, this food is delicious. Matt, I got to tell you this one recipe. I kept a secret for 10 years. When we first adopted our kids, we didn't have any money. And what's the cheapest keto food? Eggs, right?
Yeah.
And my youngest didn't like eggs at all. He didn't like scrambled eggs. He loathed them. He did not like them. And so I was like, how could I get this kid to eat eggs? Because that's got to be one of our staple meals. And so I threw hard-boiled eggs into a blender with a can of coconut milk and some cocoa powder, a little stevia, cinnamon, vanilla, and I blended all that up and made this like chocolate pudding mousse. Man, I made it for Halle Berry and she's like, what is this magic food? You know, she did not want to eat it when she knew what was in it. Like, oh, gosh, this is like the best chocolate mousse ever. And, you know, it's just, I love to play in the kitchen and be a little bit of a wizard. Like I have these refried beans that people don't eat. There's no beans in it. Beans aren't keto. But you know, people are just mind blown with all of these recipes and they're free. You can check them out on my website, but you know, it's just thinking outside the box. And you know, I don't even know where I was going with that, Matt, but you know, you get to eat all these delicious foods.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love the creativity. You're making my mouth water here. I haven't quite had lunch yet over here on Pacific time myself. So I'm definitely a little bit sad that I'm not going to be eating chocolate mousse though, your chocolate mousse. So speaking of being thankful for what you have and you know, not creating lack around what you don't have, I do think it's okay to create a little desire there for some chocolate mousse here and there. Especially if I know it's good for me.
Yeah, right? I mean, it's protein-packed pudding without the powders or anything like that. I just got back from, I was a keto chef on a television show in Costa Rica.
Oh, wow.
I made that chocolate mousse for them and they were like, what is this? And it was just really cool to see everybody just be like, I didn't think I could do the keto diet until I ate your food. And now it just seems like I wouldn't want to eat any other way.
Wow. And that sounds like the recipe is pretty simple too. Even someone who's, yeah, I would say I can cook, but I'm like bachelor efficient in the kitchen might be able to do.
You know what? I am a busy working mom. We homeschool our kids. I'm writing 4 books. I'm consulting clients all day. I also work out every day. I run. Like, food needs to be ready in minutes. So not only do people really, you know, enjoy my recipes, they love that they can be done in, you know, 15 minutes time.
Oh, yeah. That's, I mean, and that's speaking of ways that like people will stay on the program and not fail. I mean, the way you've created ease, efficiency, and just like a smooth entry on ramp into keto for people that way is, you know, that's no short order either.
Thanks.
And then, so you mentioned Halle Berry too. She's keto now, right? For people who may not know at home, she practicing that?
Yeah. You know, a couple of years ago, she reached out to me. She was posting, you know, my books and I was like, what the, I didn't even know what like Instagram stories were. And like people were messaging me, Hallie's take, you know, writing your recipe, like making your recipes on her Instagram. I'm like, what? So I went and looked there and, absolutely. She was, she had my books. I had no idea. Her first book of mine was Quick and Easy Ketogenic Cooking, which I wrote, I don't know if it's been 7 years ago now or something. And yeah, she has type 2 diabetes and
wow.
For her, it, you know, it helps her in so many ways. And we just started reaching out to each other and then she's like, hey, you want to do some cooking videos together? So we made bourbon chicken together. And I posted the whole video on my YouTube. We also made the chocolate mousse together, which is on my YouTube. She's writing the foreword for my next book, called Sugar Free Kids. And we have some other projects in the work too. She's just an amazing, amazing, amazing person.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great to hear. It's always interesting hearing what people, you know, who keep themselves in very good shape and very good health do to get there. Right. And it seems like you get some different answers. I think keto is kind of almost like paleo keto, some sort of ancestral type eating has really caught on in that community.
Yeah. I mean, it's totally anti-aging. I mean,
yeah,
she looks amazing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You can tell there's like, you know, no inflammation going on there, you know? That's awesome. And now let's talk a little bit about your certification course. What does that entail for people who maybe are like, have had some success with keto, who are listening, who are like, you know what, I feel like I want to help other people the same way you have, you know, I want to turn my passion into a profession and I want to know how and what to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what happened was when I was in college for nutrition, it was all this backward advice, all this backward, you know, drink low fat skim milk and, you know, eat your, you know, 7 to 11, you know, fruits and vegetables and grains, all this. And there's really nothing out there comprehensive that teaches you a proper keto diet out there. And so I just wanted to start this basically keto college to help people start a business where they can help people. I couldn't keep up with clients. I needed a team. And so this way, I actually made a whole website. So once you do get certified as a coach, I have a website already made for you. I have the meal plans made for you. You provide the coaching because that's what people need. They want to talk to somebody. They want someone to hold their hand. But I did the hard legwork for you, you know, making meal plans and designing a program perfected for different needs is very difficult. That tastes good too. And so, you know, I have everything ready for those people that are inspired to help people change their life. I mean, you're basically someone helping. It's like the best job in the world. Like, you know, when I get recognized in public, it's like, this is the coolest thing to be so-called somewhat famous for, because it's like the ultimate way to help people change your life.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, you know, I had a friend who used to say, like, yeah, he was sort of being a little bit cynical when talking about the way people got, you know, known and famous and things like that. He's like, yeah, it's too bad it's not a meritocracy. Meaning like, it's, you know what I'm saying? So people at home, that's basically like, meaning it's not based on merit, but like in your case, it's like, it is a meritocracy, and that can still happen. You know, someone like you who's out there helping people and teaching people and showing them the way and changing lives. I mean, that's the kind of people you hope get famous and recognition. You know,
I'm not going to be like anything like Halle Berry, but to be able to, like, I was on my bicycle the other day down at the end of Maui, almost the tip of it. And it was this in the snorkel area, and this family jumps out of their van. They're like, oh my gosh, it's Maria. We're on vacation. We can't believe we saw Maria. And they're taking pictures. It's like, this is like too cute. You know, even the teenagers were like, we love your food, you know, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is really cool. And, you know, fulfilling too. Again, you're being recognized for your own hard work and the way in which you're, you know, sort of paying it forward in the world, essentially.
Thank you. Yeah.
Well, that's great. You know, I want to be respectful of your time here. You've given us so much to think about already. You know, what would you say? We like to play a little bit of a game called Mythbusters. What would you say, or maybe the top, I don't know, it could be one, it could be a few. What are your top, let's say, two or three myths about keto that you keep hearing?
That it's bad for the kidneys. Someone just messaged me this morning, you know, my naturopath said I can't do keto because it's bad for the kidneys. Man, I'm telling you, I reverse kidney disease, and every client that is suffering from kidney disease, it is not from protein. It's issues with carbohydrates and sugar. So let's blame it on the real thing. And also like fatty liver. It shouldn't be called fatty liver. It should be called carbohydrate liver. So like those are big common myths. I also say you can't out exercise a bad diet. I was one of those people that would run marathons and gained weight. You can't out exercise a bad diet. And those are some of my biggest tips, I guess. And don't do like shots of fat if you didn't, you know, reach your fat percentage. And if you aim, here's the thing. If you focus on percentages on the keto diet, you will fail. Focus on macros. And I have a free macro calculator at mariamindbodyhealth.com. Right at the top, you click macro calculator, because everybody's personal macros are different. It will depend on your lean mass. So I would say, you know, if you're not seeing the results you want trying the keto diet, get your free macros done. That will help a lot.
That is awesome. That is a great resource for everybody listening too, and free. I mean, that's awesome. Yeah. Speaking of that too, I noticed that like when I had experimented with a more traditional strict ketogenic diet for a while, and I definitely saw some benefits and it nudged my health in the right direction. It was sort of wasn't until I kind of like actually increased my protein intake beyond what traditionally is recommended there. And that's probably because I am an active person who's, you know, doing strength training, using my fast twitch muscle fibers more, things like that.
Absolutely. But most people are under eating protein because they were told that too much protein turns into, you know, sugar, which is far from the truth.
Right. Right. I think people forget that there's like a thermic effect with food that we eat, meaning it takes work, it takes calories to break it down. And with protein, you can actually create like what you call diet-induced thermogenesis to break it down.
I have this new book called The Art of Fat Loss, and it's all about hitting your protein goal to the point where you get into that thermogenesis and you lose only the fat on your body that you want to. It's great. It's a protein sparing modified fast book. You know, you do it 2 or 3 days a week where you get your protein in, you lower the fat and carbohydrates, you burn body fat.
Oh yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I'll definitely be checking that out. Now, I think the other just point to hit on there was that was an example of not chasing ketones, just chasing results, right? Like, you know, going kind of tinkering with the whole thing and refining it for myself, just like you have had to do for, you know, PCOS.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, that's awesome. Okay, that's well,
you're an athlete. If, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with Zach Bitter. He's running 100-mile races on keto, and he's winning the races. But he needs more fat for fuel because that's what he's using for fuel. He's not, he's such a lean dude that, you know, and that's the thing, like, don't sign up for a marathon and start the, you know, the keto diet expecting to, you know, PR, you know, this just, it's, give it time.
Yeah. I'm with you there. I think you said something like that, that's a really awesome takeaway for people too there. And that's that, you know, he's using a largely oxidative based part of his metabolism or a fat burning part of his metabolism, you know, slow twitch activity is largely dominated by, at least, you know, in larger part by your ability to burn your own fat or lipolysis. Whereas an athlete who's a sprinter is not going to dip into that as much in like a shorter heat. Right. And I think that kind of allows for some of that macro wiggle room there. It's like, all right, well, this guy's, he kind of likes doing endurance, you know, he likes, you know, whether it's an athlete or a weekend warrior, you know, he likes riding, you know, he's riding his bike, going on long runs. He's probably going to need more fat, or this guy's a basketball player, you know, he's probably going to need to up his carbohydrates, you know? So it's interesting that way, or this person has an autoimmune condition, you know, she's probably going to need to do like, you know, maybe X, Y, or Z. So.
Yep, like dairy free, totally.
Yeah. Well, so now if people, you've been more than generous with both your information and time. So if people want to learn more, they want to maybe check out your books, check out the macro calculator, follow you on social media, where can they do that?
Yeah, absolutely. I have a free website. That's mariamindbodyhealth.com. Where there's, like I said, thousands of free recipes, the free macro calculator. I even have a free ebook there everybody can grab with meal plans and stuff. Otherwise, I also have a website called keto-adapted.com. And I'm on social media on Facebook called Keto Adapted. Otherwise, on Instagram, at Maria Emmerich. I'm also on Twitter, too, Maria Emmerich. So just look, search for Maria Emmerich. I'm somewhere.
Sounds good. All right, everyone. Well, I highly recommend checking out Maria's website, checking her out on social media, and really just taking advantage of all the free information that's out there. There's really like a ton of great places to start if you're more intermediate and advanced. Like I said, she even has the certification going on. So feel free to check all those things out. And yeah, Maria, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Matt. It's been an honor.
Awesome. Thank you. All right, everybody. That was an awesome episode of BHB Radio. I cannot wait to check out Maria's stuff. Hopefully, be able to have her on again in the future. Take care, guys.